Germans, as I said, were very, very well trained, very dedicated soldiers. They believed wholeheartedly in Hitler. And in the beginning, their weapons were better than ours. Their tanks were better than ours. When we first landed, our Sherman tanks only had 4-inch frontal armor, and our tanks were fighting the German Panthers and Tigers. The Panthers had 8-inch armor. Their Tiger tanks had 12-inch armor, and the only advantage that our tanks would have over them was speed. Later on, well, it was shortly before the war was over, we got a tank that was as good or better than what the Germans had. But since Hitler came to power in 1933, and he immediately started building the German army, which of course was against the Versailles Treaty, so he had 9 years to build the German army and equip it, and the Air Force, and they were geniuses at making weapons and planes, because they overran all of Europe, and if they'd have been smart enough, they would have beaten the Russians. But so they it still is amazing what this relatively small country could do. Germany, pre-war Germany, is about the size of Texas in area. But of course, they had huge armament factories. They were very intelligent. Before the war was over, they had invented the jet airplane. They had invented these V-2 rockets that were rained on London, and
they never actually used the jet planes, right?
Well, yes, they had the jet planes, but again, when Hitler took over command of all the German armed forces, he wouldn't let the generals make any decisions. He made all the decisions. And when they put the ME-262 jet fighter in the air, instead of letting him use it as a fighter plane, Hitler wanted to use it as a bomber. And although they had produced hundreds of them, they didn't start flying. They were about 150 miles an hour faster than our fastest plane, which was the P-51 Mustang. So the only way our planes could really get to them, they would follow him back to the bases, and when the German planes would be going to land, then they'd shoot them down. But it was amazing what the Germans did. They were good soldiers, and they had the best equipment, and they had all the advantages. But
they didn't make it. Was there anything that you learned? Whatever, like, I don't know.
Did I learn?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I learned, and the whole world learned that you can't let people like Hitler and Mussolini and these people run loose until you have to fight them. you learn that actually Britain and France could have stopped the war very easily had they stood up to Hitler years before, but they didn't do it. And you learn too that, of course, I was only 19 when I went in, and you learn to grow up very quickly. You learn to be self-reliant. You learn that you have to do what you think you should do in times of crisis for your country. And as I said, you learn that Nobody in the Army is going to take care of you. You take care of yourself. You learn discipline and many things that, as I said, you grow up in a hurry. But you do, you learn discipline and many good things that that come out of military service. So it was quite an experience. A lot of guys stayed in the Army. I didn't. I was in almost 4 years, so I was ready to get out.
You went home right after.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And so.
Were you ever wounded? Or?
Well, we were taking the the old city of Aachen, and my vehicle was a half track. If you know what a half track is, it has front wheels and a track like a tank in back. And we were at night pulling into the old German city of Aachen. We didn't know that there was any true German troops around, but apparently they had come back in at night on two opposite sides of the highway there on and hills, and they opened up on us, and you have these 5 gallon gas tanks in addition to the regular gas tanks, and these gas tanks exploded, and I was burned, and it wasn't too bad. I got part of my hair burned off and burned my hand. But
what part of the war was this?
Well, this was after the Battle of the Bulge. It was over, and we were able to go get into Germany. And so this was after the Battle of the Bulge, I say. And, my clothing was on fire, and they got that put out pretty quick. So, but my hand was pretty badly burned. But at least I was there till the end, and got to get through the whole thing.
Were there a lot of casualties to your division?
Oh yeah. Oh well. Yeah. Every
that one part where you were going into Germany.
Yeah. Well, of course, there were every. Well, of course, some divisions had. Just whatever the luck of the draw had heavier casualties, but all the divisions had pretty heavy casualties, yeah. And it was just of course something that you never forget. That in ways it seems like it was not too long ago, and in some ways it seems like it was 100 years ago. But so I don't know anything.
Was it hard to kill when you did it?
Well, I guess you didn't really think about it. There was only one way you was going to stay alive. You know, as General Patton said that, no, again I won't use his words, but he said no soldier ever won a war by dying for his country, that he won a war by making the other guy on the other side of the line die for his country. So I guess that's the way you looked at it, you know, you were there, and nothing you could do about it, and so you did what you tried to do what you had to do.
Like Sergeant York said, it's either like you killed to save other more people's lives because they were.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's why Patton. That was Patton's theory, that the quicker you got the war over with, the more lives you were going to save. But of course, it went about 6 months longer than we thought it was going to. But, that's what. And so that, of course, we were glad when it was over, and we thought we'd be on our way to the Pacific. But thank gosh, that ended over there before we got sent to the Pacific. So we didn't have to do that. But there was, I'll tell about some of the funny things that happened.
Yeah.
I remember, well, this, before we got overseas, there was some fun times. The things that, the tricks and things we used to play on each other. When we were in Camp Gordon, Georgia, it got really cold there, and would snow even sometime. And so guys, at night we'd take a guy that was in his bed sleeping, and we'd pick him up in his bunk and take him outside, where it would be colder than the dickens. And when we'd come back in, only about a couple of minutes later, you'd hear all this loud yelling and cussing going on about what we had done. So there was fun times, the things that you would do. Had a lot of training,
What training did you have before, though, you went to the war?
Well, when you go in, you get 6 weeks basic training, and then we were in a couple of camps for training, and then went on maneuvers in Tennessee, and so you got quite a bit of training. Which didn't really prepare you for the real thing, but it helped. I mean, of course, you got quick training once you got overseas. So
yeah. Did you carry the communications on your back? Were you?
No, as I said, we operated in a half track. I was a radio operator and machine gunner, and we had two radios that we used to communicate with the other companies and the other battalions and division, and to get sending messages and getting messages and. So it, as I said, it was quite an experience. Has he gotten more on that?
Yeah, it's probably quite scary a lot of times too.
Well, yeah. You especially at night. That's when you were really scared, because obviously you couldn't see, you could only hear, and what you might hear, you didn't know whether it was a friend or a foe, so to speak. Of course, we had a joke going that when you're on guard, that if you heard a noise, you'd start shooting, and then you'd say halt, then you'd shoot some more, and then you'd say halt, who goes there, and then you'd shoot some more. And you hope it wasn't somebody you knew, but
was there ever kind of a surprise or anything? Like, did they ever come during the night?
Well, yeah, as I said, this time in Aachen, when we got shut up, it was the one thing that we worried about in half tracks is that, especially tonight, we'd be on the radios at night, and the Germans had a bad habit of sneaking in and throwing hand grenades in the vehicles, especially in the communication vehicles. And but the one of the greatest things, one of the worst part of the German army was known as the SS. It was called the Schutzstaffel. That was really started out as Hitler's private army, and they enlarged it. They made these German soldiers into fanatics, and they would have these SS divisions. They had one SS division called the Hitlerjugend, which most of the kids in it were only 17, 18, 19 years old. But boy, they were just as fanatic as any of them. And they were the elite German divisions. They were the best. They had the best equipment, the best training. And they would be held out of a battle until a situation developed bad for them, and they would send in these SS elite divisions, and they would usually pull their chestnuts out of the fire. They were just really fanatic soldiers, really fanatic. And whenever any of the Germans would get captured, they'd throw up their hands and say, "Me nix Nazi, nix Nazi." So I guess there weren't any Nazis in the German army, according to the prisoners.
Did you ever capture anybody?
Yeah, a few. We always had there was an interrogation unit, usually with every division, and they would interrogate the prisoners, and as I said, these SS troops were just fanatics. I know there was one of our intelligence units, a captain that was interrogating a German SS lieutenant, and they said they were very arrogant, and this German SS lieutenant spit in his face, in this captain's face, and the captain picked up a rifle and took the butt of it and hit him right in the mouth, and he didn't have many teeth left. But you couldn't treat them like you should treat prisoners, because they were crazy, absolute fanatics. They're about as bad as the Japanese kamikaze people. But, so it was a cold, memorable experience. But
did the Germans have more part of the war than the Japanese did?
Did they do what?
A bigger part? The Germans did.
Well, of course, it was entirely different. I mean, on opposite sides of the world, you know.
I kind of get confused sometimes.
Of course, the Germans, you know, they were strictly a land war, although they had some naval units. But, of course, the Japanese was much of the war there was naval warfare, because, of course, they were scattered all over the Pacific, and they had, of course, huge navy, and which we eventually had a big navy too. But entirely separate types of war altogether. The Germans had huge mechanized and armored units, and of course the Japanese didn't have any of that, because they were on islands and all around, that jungle warfare, that you couldn't use armored armored vehicles much. So, yeah, it was something then, of course, during the World War II, of course, the country was very solid behind everything, and we knew who the enemy was, and unfortunately, in the Korean and the Vietnam War, why there was a lot of division among people. Some were for it, some were against it. But once the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, why the whole country immediately became solidly behind the war, which. When the war started, we didn't have anything. We only had about 100,000 soldiers. We didn't have any equipment. The first guys that were drafted, they used broomsticks for rifles, and they'd put a sign on the side of a tank, the side of a truck, would say, "This is a tank." And there was nothing. We started from scratch. And the Germans had this huge